to go with my dad and pick up some mill work in a very old big truck. Had a flat nose on it, and probably was a 1960s 5-10 ton truck. And we picked it up over on the Colorado River, and came to Phoenix. And at the time, I didn't live here. I lived in the mountains, and went to Roosevelt Lake. Back then, you had to drive across the dam. There was no bridge. And most of the road was dirt. Tells you how long ago it was. And I was thinking I was probably 8 or 9 years old, maybe. And we come up to the highway, 260 highway, where 188 highway hits it. And those of you out there and watching this live stream may or may not know where that's at, but it's up in central Arizona. And the truck died. We've been all day, delivered our cabinets, we're headed home, we're probably, 25, 30 miles from the house, the truck dies. My dad tries to start it and flips the cab up, the whole cab rolled up so you get to the motor, and it wouldn't start, starter was bad on it or something, I don't know. And so he looks at me and says, I tell you what, I want you to walk back down here to Jake's Corner, it's only 3 miles. And that first driveway on the left is a friend of ours. Don't mind the dogs in the yard. And knock on the door and tell them who you are. And they'll come up or have them call your mom. No cell phones back in those days. Have them call your mom. She can come get us. Well, there are no street lights. I don't have a flashlight. It's only 3 miles. And of course, that was pretty disturbing to me. And I didn't say nothing because my dad wasn't the kind of guy you just say no to. And you just said yes, sir, and went on about your business. And I said, I guess I'll have to do this. He must have seen on my face or known. He said, I'll tell you what, I'll walk down there with you. And so we walked down there. But it was a lesson to me and one that's repeated itself over and over again. And I find it fitting to go with my sermon this evening, perspective. That we oftentimes don't realize not only what we're capable of doing, but what we're can be victorious in doing. We can be victorious in doing it. I have a few quick scriptures here I want to just get through to make a point or two, and then we'll continue on. Can you see that okay, guys? Genesis 1:4, and it said, God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and God called the dry land earth, and gathered together the water and called it sea, and God saw that it was good. And the earth brought forth its grass and yielded its seed after every kind, and the tree yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And verse 18 it says, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. I think you see a pattern developing here, I hope. And God created great whales and everything, creature that moved, which was in the water and brought forth after its kind, and every winged fowl after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God made the breath of the earth after its kind, beast of the earth after its kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth and after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning of the sixth day. So here we see in the beginning, and you know my sermon's name is that God is good, okay? God created the heavens and the earth, And he himself said it was good. And I believe that he's created everything. Every creature, every animal, every bacteria, every virus, everything. And he said it was good. It was for a purpose. It's for a purpose. The question is, do we believe that? Do we truly believe that the things that go on around us, whether it's the thing that's currently going on around us with this virus, or a flat tire on the freeway, or difficulty in our family, problems in our work, financial difficulties, that the Lord's really in control? Do we have faith that God is in control? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brother, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and ye shall be given him. It shall be given him. So what does this verse of scripture here in James tell us? To me, it tells us that God has these things in control. Has these things in control. And I've learned over the years that if I truly trust in the Lord, he has my best interest. I may not particularly like it at the moment. It's kind of like a dad or a mom with a small child or even a not so small child. We make a decision for them. Sometimes things happen. They fall down, skin their knee. I didn't decide for them to fall down, skin their knee. But I may pick them up and dust them off and tell them to buck up a little, you'll be all right, and move on. Okay? And tell them, don't run out there in the asphalt, and you won't fall down and skin your knee like that. Okay? The Lord gives us direction. He gives us comfort. He gives us strength. But do we believe it? Do we believe that he's truly in control of these things? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. This is Paul speaking, and I kind of cut in the middle of this whole thing. But you'll understand what I'm saying. It says, for the perfecting of the, it's talking about giving of the ministry. And it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to a unity of the faith and of a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that he henceforth be no more, that we henceforth be no more children, I want you to listen to this part, children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind and doctrine, by the sleights of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. We need to be, as the scripture says, and I've used many times, of a sound mind. We need to be of an understanding that man is not in control. I'm sure we all know somebody right now who is struggling. They're really struggling. They're struggling with emotionally with what's going on in our country. Okay, I can't watch the news without, you know, being sad that people are dying and that people are suffering and there's difficulties going on and people are losing their job. That's not good news, okay? That's not good news. But it doesn't shake my faith in Christ. It doesn't change the way I look at the world when I get up in the morning. Because as we read the first few scriptures, God created all these things. And these things will still be going on after I'm dead and gone. You know, the other day, I couldn't remember when my dad passed away. I know that's a kind of a crazy thought, but time passes. And so I went and looked it up, you know. It's been 6 years. It's like, man, how'd that happen so quickly? You know, and it is the way of man. We're here. Things come and go. We've been blessed that we live in a time and a land of plenty. But there's other people who've lived in our same lifetime, who's lived their entire time in war, in distress, not enough to eat, not knowing where their next meal is coming from, living on a dirt floor. There's people today in our world living like that. And sometimes we're just not in tune to it at all. That my point being is that we live, we come, and we go. We're the caretaker of the gospel of Christ in our time. That should be our focus. You know, I talk every once in a while about books I read or I'm reading, and I just finished listening to a book on, and I've the second time or third time, I don't remember, through it. It's called The One Thing. And all these things are leadership books I read, but they're, I turn that to how can I apply this to the gospel. And in this book, over and over again, he talks about not losing your focus. Don't let people, situations, interrupt what you're doing. Block out time to do your most important thing. For each of us in this room, for each of us on the live stream, the most important thing is preparing to meet God. That's our whole task in life. Whether we do it in wealth or in poverty, whether we do it in peace or in war, in famine or in plenty, that's our focus. And if we stay focused on that as being the big one thing, the rest of the stuff comes and goes. And some of it will be very difficult. Some of it's a struggle. Sometimes we have to face things that are very difficult. But when we face them, and we face them using the faith and the knowledge that the Lord has given us, when we look back, we're stronger for it. We're ready. As it says there, let you know, count it all joy when you have troubles. Why? Because it's going to help your patience. It's going to help your faith. You're going to be stronger for it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they may not be, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the Charge them that are rich in things in this world, they may not be high-minded nor trust in riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly things to enjoy. When I copied this down, I thought, I don't think I've ever used this verse in the scripture, and I'm not sure why not. I mean, the scripture in the sermon. It says, that they do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and this word communicate is action, I believe, laying up in storage for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So none of this scripture is talking about laying something up physically. It's talking about doing the right thing. If you have money, if you have time, if you have whatever you have that you can assist somebody else, that you stand ready to distribute, you stand ready, willing to help those around you. And, you know, I'm fearful sometimes because of the wealth we have in this land. And I know most of us in this room or that would normally be in this room think, well, we really don't have much. We got enough to pay the bills. Compared to most of the world's population, we're extremely wealthy. And for us to have that wealth, sometimes we think we're pretty important. Be high-minded. that, you know, not to have to trust in the Lord. By hope, as we struggle, as we have difficulties come in our life, whether it's the current one going on or something else, that we trust in the Lord, that we find an ability to reach out to Him and find His strength in us. Not the strength of our own arm, not our own money. I hire a lawyer, or I got more money than the next guy. It's not going to do it for you. It's not going to do it for you. In 3 Nephi, chapter 11, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what doth it profit that we have kept His ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, them that tempt God are even delivered. And I'm going to continue to read a couple more verses there, but first I wanted to talk a little bit about that. We can say that, you know, this goes on in our society, because it does. And we sometimes have a hard time seeing. You know, why do I do what I do in life? Why should I not enjoy what the guy down the street's enjoying? Why is it that I don't have, or don't, or I shouldn't want what everybody else has? And what if I have to cheat my neighbor or my boss or my customer to get it? What's the difference? You know, we can think these things that we call the proud happy. And sometimes we look at people that are very notable people and are like, well, they got everything. They're really happy. You know, but we have to follow through in this verse and in our way of thinking. And that's why I really wanted to draw a perspective, and I feel like I may not be doing that good a job. But just real quick, God is good. The things He created is good. He's set into motion. I honestly don't believe that every morning the Lord looks at His watch and says, oh, 6:40, time for the sun to get up in Arizona. Make sure that happens. He spoke that into action one time. And it does it forever until He speaks it out of action. He spoke the world into being one time. The animals, the plants, the seeds that come off them that grow new plants, the way that stuff is planted all over the world, the oceans, the effect they have on the shoreline, the effect they have on the weather patterns, spoke that into being, and it happens. This is the perspective that we need to be looking at. This whole difficulty that's upon our planet is but a tiny blurb in God's perspective. Not that He doesn't care, because He does. Not that we shouldn't care, because we should. But let's keep it in perspective. We either believe that God is in ultimate control. He's in ultimate director of all things. And we know that He can intervene in behalf of His children if He speaks, if He makes it happen. And He will, as He hears their prayers. I'm going to read the 19th verse here. 19 and 20. Then they that fear the Lord spoke often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. This is key. This is key. It's key in who we are. It's key in what helps us to understand that perspective I'm talking about. The world can do whatever they want out there. We can see famines come and go, pestilence, whatever you want to call it. War, struggles, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as we keep our focus on the one thing. We keep our focus on our Savior, Jesus Christ. We keep our focus on His Word. And I love this part of the verse here, and it says, and that thought upon his name. Do we think upon his name? Day in and day out, all the time. Those that hearken, and their name was written in the book, and he's going to take special care of those that fear his name and that believe him and that serve him. He's going to spare them as a man would spare his own son. This is the important thing to remember. When we're trying to figure out and sort out everything that's going on around us, whether it be in this time or another time, it doesn't matter. It applies the same. It applies the same. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets that come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. Yea, ye shall know them by their fruits. No man gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. This is a grand opportunity for you and I to let our fruit be seen. By their fruits ye shall know them. Are your fruits faith? Are your fruits joy? Are your fruits hope? Or are you running around scared and upset, struggling? By your fruits they shall know you. This is next one is kind of different. I thought Nathan would enjoy this. A Jeep in there. This is where the rubber meets the road. I've said that a lot of times. And this is how it is. This is where the rubber meets the road. Do you believe or don't you? Is God capable in your life to move mountains? Is he capable to protect, to save, to change, to fix? I know he is. The question is, do you know he is? This is an awesome opportunity for us to exercise our faith, to exercise our belief that by our fruits we shall be known, that we're a calming effect in the storm, that we have perspective on what's going on around us, and people see it. They see it. They recognize that we're not like Chicken Little running around saying the sky is falling. The sky's not falling. And even if it was, God is in control. He is able to intervene in the lives of those that serve him, those that fear his name, that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who allow him to intervene in their life. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where our faith meets the task. And I believe we're up to it. And I think we need to be called to a higher calling. We need to be called to show joy, to show happiness. I know I write a lot of emails, and at the end of a lot of my emails lately, I put on there, have a great day. Have a great day. Because I hope that people do have a great day. The sky is not falling. 2 Nephi, chapter 3. My God hath been my support. And I believe Adam read a part of the scripture this morning. My God hath been my support. He hath led me through mine afflictions in the wilderness. And he hath preserved me upon the waters of the great deep. He hath filled me with his love, even unto the consuming of my flesh. He had comforted me. He hath comforted my enemies, confounded my enemies, unto the cause of them to quake before me. Behold, he hath heard my cry by day, and he hath given me knowledge by visions in the night. This is who we believe in. This is who we serve. Okay, if you're in the wilderness, your own wilderness, if you're in the great deep, expect it. Our faith is not vain. Expect it. Expect that God will do just exactly what he said he would. He has not changed, nor will he. He's not a respecter of persons. He will bless those who trust in him, who reach out. He'll comfort them. He'll make our enemies quake before us. Is that rubber meat in the road for you? Do you believe it? Or is it just words on a page? I hope you do. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling? Of course, he's speaking of Christ. Again, it's the Apostle Paul. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Do we believe that? Are we here today? Are you tuned into live streaming? Are you sitting in the pew? Are you engaged in a Christian lifestyle? Are you walking before the Lord according to his purpose or according to your own? By his grace. Pick up there in the middle of that verse where I left off. Which he hath given us in Christ, in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, before the world began. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's where we're at today. He has brought life and immortality. Sometimes Deb would tell me, especially when the boys were younger and we're loading the quads up and we're headed to the mountains, be careful. Be careful. I'm always careful. And she knew it wasn't true. Okay. And I would say, well, the worst thing could happen is I die. Okay. And it's, to me, that's, sounds weird, but it's not the worst thing that could happen. If you truly believe, I'm not volunteering to leave early, but if you truly believe, there's no fear. There's no fear in this. If we're here according to his purpose, if we're following what he's asking us to do, if we're seeking repentance, if we're seeking his face, we trust in his love and in his grace. Verse 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle, this is Paul, and a teacher to the Gentiles. For that which cause I also suffer these things. He suffered a lot of things, Paul did. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. I want you to listen real careful to this next part. It's one of my favorites. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against that day. Against the day that I'll stand before him, he's able to keep the things I've committed. He's able to hold up his side of the bargain. He's going to do everything he said he was going to do. He's not slack, as the scripture says, as men count slackness. I may see one of you guys and you're like, hey, Andy, can you come over and give me a hand tomorrow night? Sure, I'd glad to, no problem. Well, tomorrow night comes around, I forgot about it, I'm at the house, go to bed, don't think nothing about it. Next time I see you, I'm like, oops. I was supposed to come over and give you a hand. Because men are slack. We fail. But God is able, through His Son, Jesus Christ, to accomplish everything He hath committed. And we've read just a minute amount of the things He's committed tonight. God is good. We have to believe that. God is able to keep everything He has told us He's going to do. Don't be shaken. The sky is not falling. And if it is, the Lord will give us a hard hat and we'll move on. We will keep going. This is the thing. Our commitment to Him is to the end. Period. That's when I walk out of here and get hit by a bus, that's my end. If I live long enough, which I hope I do, to see the Lord's return, that's the end. If I grow, it really doesn't matter. God will be faithful to the end of my life. The question is, will I be? And that's the goal. He is able to keep that which He's committed. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. But He saith, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endureth to the end. My next scripture, you're going to have to get your books out for. Because I didn't put it all down. I take too many slides. Psalms chapter 91. And I'm going to read a good part of that. So if you would, turn to it. As you know, I don't read that great. And follow along. I'm going to stop from time to time and make a comment or two. Verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abideth in the shadow of the Almighty. You and I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Do you believe that? We're not on our own. He's here with us. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. There's no other place to put your trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare and the power and from the noisome pestilent. He shall cover thee with His fetters, and under His wings shall thou trust. His trust shall be thy shield and thy buckler. You know, throughout this psalm, we see David continuing to just bring comparison, really. How many ways can I tell you this, that the Lord is going to take care of you? Throughout this psalm, this is what he's saying. The Lord is going to take care of you. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilent that walketh in the dark place, darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall on thy right side, and 10,000, 1,000 shall fall on thy side, and 10,000 on thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. He's going to take care of you. That's what this psalm is saying. He's going to take care of you. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the rearward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. So there's something required on our side. We have to make the Lord our habitation. We have to dwell and live in Him day in and day out. Now and after this virus thing passes and something else comes along. Good times in our life and in bad. We have to dwell. The Lord has to be our habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Does this mean I'll never get sick? Nope. Does this mean I'll never die? Nope. It means in all those things, I'm victorious in Jesus Christ. Not in my own strength, not in my own wisdom, in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The angels he's talking about there is going to lift you up. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. What more can we ask than the love of God Almighty is set upon us? Wherefore will I deliver him? I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. Like the other scripture we read, that he's thought, our thoughts were upon the Lord. That we've known his name. That we're not consumed with our own stuff. We're not consumed with every little tidbit the world wants to hand us. Every TV show and every movie. Every little going on out there on Facebook or whatever it is that gets your attention, that our thoughts are upon the Lord. And that we dwell in His habitation is our habitation. Verse 14, because He has set His love upon me. We read this, but I'll continue to read it anyway. Therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I sanctify him and show him my salvation. These are promises the Lord has given us. These are gifts that God has given us. He's going to show us His salvation. He's going to keep us. He's going to protect us. Does that mean life's going to be perfect? No. But we will glorify His name in our troubles, in our difficulties, in everything we do. We glorify His name. So as we kind of go through this time of trial, and as I've talked tonight, like I said, try and see the big perspective. God created all things, and it was good. God is good. God's good in my life today. He's good in your life. He has not changed. He knows your difficulty. He knows your trouble. I glorify His name for His rich blessings in my life. I live well. My heart is full. God is good. He knows where you're at. He shed His love upon you. And I know that He can see all situations. The thing that we're going through as a country and as a world today, the whole world's gone through it a lot of times before. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it was good back then. Doesn't mean it's good now. But the Lord's got it in control. He's got it handled. So it's up to you and I to do our part. He is able to keep that which He hath committed. So tomorrow when you get up and you go to work, or maybe you don't go to work, Maybe you wish you'd go to work. The bills come in, struggles of life, sickness, affliction. That's where our faith goes into action. That's where the rubber meets the road in our life. Trust in the Lord. Help your brothers and sisters. Let them help you. May we glorify God in all these things is my prayer. Thank you.